I always like going back to historical data. It doesn't predict what's going to happen in the future, but we get an idea of what it can do. We understand historically what volatility can be, how we should design our investments, or how your advisor should design those investments, depending on how you're investing, so that you can withstand those ups and downs and those drawdowns and have other uncorrelated assets working in synergy.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green. Please stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear boring yet important disclosures. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast. I have been fascinated by the stock market this year, the amount of volatility, the movement, the incredible amount of volume that's going on with trades each day. And we've had quite the correction to begin this year. And I want to talk about a few things, and I do find it fascinating, though, about how last month in December, I had a variety of, I think I had one or two episodes, maybe a little bit more, just really emphasizing the importance of, A, I don't have a crystal ball. I would argue most people do not have a crystal ball. And the stock market, predicting what the stock market is going to do tomorrow, this week, or this year, is not a good approach. You have experts on both sides of the aisle equally qualified. You'll watch them on CNBC, you'll watch them on Fox Business, Bloomberg, and you'll have two equally qualified experts on both sides of the aisle. One will be saying how the market's going to go up, and they have all the rationale behind that, and the other saying why the market's going to go down. But if you look back historically, these predictions are missed quite often. News is good at reporting what has occurred. That's data, empirical data. That's what they're good at. If they're telling the truth, they're good at reporting what has occurred. They do not predict the future and cannot predict the future unless they have a time machine that I'm unaware of. And last month, I was talking about what's most important when you're going into investment strategies comes with money management, portfolio management, and understanding what your stomach can endure, risk tolerances, because we will experience volatility. And the worst time, you hear this all the time, I hear it all the time in this industry, it sounds trite, yet is true, is the worst time to pull out of the stock market is at a low. When we realize an unrealized loss becoming a realized loss is a painful way to play the game. You're going to lose. What's most important is being prepared for what's to come, understanding what the markets can do. And I always like going back to historical data. It doesn't predict what's going to happen in the future, but we get an idea of what it can do. We understand historically what volatility can be, how it can behave, and how we should design our investments, or how your advisor should design those investments, depending on how you're investing, so that you can withstand those ups and downs and those drawdowns and have other assets, other uncorrelated assets working in synergy. The stock market is my bright and shiny object, and I'll get into technical analysis in a moment. Technical analysis relaxes me. It's fun. I love candlesticks. I love watching the volume throughout the day, especially at the beginning when the futures market really gets going at 5:30 a.m. Pacific. And it's just really fascinating to watch. And then the last hour and a half before market close, there typically can be a lot of volume. And boy, have we had a lot of volume. Today's recording is the 25th. And on Tuesday, you'll hear this on Thursday, the 27th. And what's occurred on Tuesday and Monday, an incredible amount of volume, an incredible amount of movement in the stock market between the highs and lows intraday. And it'll be interesting. And, you know, one of my favorite formations I like looking for, there's a variety of things in technical analysis I look at, and I'll dive into in a second. We don't have a crystal ball, and I just find it fascinating. I'm looking at, and it's just understanding that if you look at historically in the stock market since inception, over the long term, it goes up. But you have big waves up, take some time for build up, and boy, does it when it goes down fast. And if that is outside your pain threshold, it's good to identify exit strategies before you get into the market so you understand what can occur so you stick with your game plan and don't get out and take an unrealized loss and make it a realized loss, knowing that I'm a big believer of the reversion to the mean. And if you have this rubber band that pulls really hard, it's going to come back up. Now, how much, who knows? But anyway, a few tangents, but I want to tie it to an article that was on CNBC where you have experts that are predicting that the market is going to go down another 10%, double down on defense because stocks will plunge another 10%, according to Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson. I hear what's being said, but then you're going to find an expert on the other end who potentially will have a different argument. And I always like to see how these representatives, these investors, these professionals are invested themselves to see if there's a conflict of interest. And these are opinions. Now, what the market's going to do, I don't know. Now, going to technical analysis, and I'll have a link to this article with CNBC, because when I look at technical analysis, I like using things like Fibonacci retracements. I like going back a different time frames, looking at highs and lows in the market. And it's very interesting because on these retracements, it's interesting where as the market goes up, when it pulls back, how it consistently likes to touch different what are known as support and resistant lines. And as the market's going up, it bumps its heads, it pulls down, goes back up, touches that resistance. And if it goes above it and then comes back down, what was once resistance now is what's known as a support line. It starts to test the support line. And I enjoy Fibonacci retracements. I enjoy seeing trend lines. And I also like looking for different formations to point out a potential pivot where, for example, it's gone down over 10, 11, 12% since beginning of this year in the market. And I like looking for things what are known as hammer formations, where kind of not that big of a body, but a really long wick down and a lot of volume. And then the next day, now not exactly what's called a Harami formation, but intraday trading that is within the previous day. And then tomorrow should be interesting to see if there's confirmation to see it goes back up. We have one expert saying how it's going to go down. Then you have someone who, me, I'm not predicting what it can do, but I would not be surprised to see it go back up a little bit. And wouldn't be surprised to see it keep going back up. And I sure wouldn't be surprised to see it go down and keep going down. The market just does what it's going to do. But having the idea of it does seem to behave in patterns. And Fibonacci retracements, so that's a new term for you. You might want to look it up if that's interesting to you. Different candlestick patterns like hammers and haramis are really fun to look for to kind of get an idea. Hey, are we going to have a little bit of a pause in this pain? Now, to watching the spiders, which is the ETF that you know mirrors the S&P 500, and the SPX is the ticker for S&P 500, that it's just very fascinating to see how much, and I say fascinating, not that I'm not, hey, I'm in the stock market. I don't like seeing it go down, but I understand that game. I understand how much it can move and sticking to it and understanding that, hey, we've had strong corrections. Let's see what's in store. But also depending upon how you're invested, if you're near your retiree, these kind of drawdowns can be very painful. And if you're dependent upon the safe withdrawal rate or taking income from this money, hopefully your position in a way that a lot of this is diversified within the stock market with things like bonds or bonds alternatives, things outside the stock market. Like I just absolutely love the Bankosaurus because it's such a powerful saving strategy that can complement and be an uncorrelated asset to what's happening when we have drawdowns like this in the market. So that instead of pulling from the stock market for money because we've had a drawdown, we want it to come back up and recapture that money. You can be very strategic pulling from your savings account, pulling from your life insurance policy, or leveraging, taking a loan against the cash value in your policy, real estate, investing in other businesses. You know, having all these uncorrelated assets working in synergy with a stock market, I would argue, is the best way to play your financial game. And always understanding exit strategy and your risk tolerances. And the technical analysis can be just a lot of fun. And seeing the amount of volume today, the volume yesterday, a lot of volume last week, and seeing how we've had large movements down in the stock market with a really interesting battle yesterday and today between the bears and the bulls on which direction this could go. And now with all that said, now there's tons of books out there about and a lot of arguments out there how technical analysis, you know, you can make really accurate trades in investing with those with technical analysis and fundamental analysis. And I disagree. I really enjoy it. I've enjoyed studying it. I enjoy fundamental analysis as well. I'll do a podcast discussing that down the road. I think it's those factors are important, but it doesn't guarantee what the market's going to do in the future. At the end of the day, using as much deductive reasoning as possible and as much logic as possible, using patterns, using fundamental analysis to make an educated choice on how to move forward. At the end of the day, I could look at as many spreadsheets as I want, comb through as much data as possible, and do as much technical analysis as possible in different sectors in the industry. And at the end of the day, when you go to do an investment, it's using all that logic and reason to make an emotional decision to pull the trigger. And I would say that just from historical data, hopefully this is kind of for those listening that have a lot in the stock market or surprised to see that, oh my gosh, it really just doesn't go straight up forever. It does correct. It does have drawdowns. Is that if you look at historically since inception, that over time, you know, the chances for making really good profits over time, investing in the stock market, as long as it's within what your stomach can endure, can be a very powerful strategy to complement everything you're doing with your other savings and investment strategies. And I hope that gives some peace of mind. The technical analysis I go through and watching the markets gives me peace of mind on making what I would argue, I try to, again, what seems to be logical decisions are still emotional to a certain degree because we just don't know what tomorrow is going to be. We don't know what to look. We just want to be prepared for what presents itself and then have other areas to dip into when we endure a correction and don't want to realize a loss. And I think that's it on technical analysis. I did try to do a really fancy video. I was going through charts and graphs, and I thought it would be my first video podcast to share with everyone. I love to hear everyone's feedback on that if it's something you'd like to see. And it was a little bit of a disaster, so I'm doing this recording to share my thoughts on the stock market, what we're seeing. And I'm very encouraged in the fact that for 2022, there's a lot of signs that this pandemic is now going to become an endemic. It's all throughout the world. I don't think anyone's excited by COVID by any means, but it's just going to be part of our world like we've dealt with flus and colds. And hope it kind of starts putting itself more and more out of existence as it mutates more and more. And our governments will let go. And hopefully our world starts turning. So it's very encouraging seeing in the news how it seems like more and more light at the end of the tunnel, where we'll have more and more free commerce and we can be out there producing and creating and no longer the separation of our time, our skill set, and money. And we can go out there again and really produce and consume. And I'm excited. Now, what's good for Main Street might not be good for Wall Street. Sometimes they work well together. Sometimes they have different objectives. And it'll be an interesting battle this year. It'll be interesting decision making. You know, we have a government that probably doesn't want to see interest rates, but we also have a Federal Reserve and government that wants to protect the U.S. dollar probably and keep that world reserve currency status. And if we keep having low interest rates and inflation through the roof, that could be challenging. And so if interest rates go up, it could have an impact on the stock market. It could have an impact on the real estate. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I just think it's great to have liquidity as part of your financial strategies. I think it's important to have a bunch of assets on and off Wall Street and have a good game plan and be prepared for what's about to present itself. And I think this could be a very exciting 2022. And I'm so excited just to really see this world turning. And the stock market's going to do it. The stock market, be prepared for it. And just to emphasize, I just really think it's fun watching patterns and charts. And if it's something you would like to learn more about, you have any questions on any of the topics I've talked about on this episode or any previous episodes, or if you're new to this show, please don't hesitate to go to engineerofinance.com. You can learn more about me and how I think, learn more about the show. And if you have any questions, you really want to get bold and ask me some questions, I'd love to see how I could help and point you in the right direction. And there's a ability on the website, engineerofinance.com, where you can schedule a time for us to talk for a few minutes and see how I can help point you in the right direction and take the next step. Thank you, everyone that listens to this podcast. I crave for this to be a 5-star show, and I hope I'm creating a lot of value. And please subscribe and share this to people you look up to and care for. And I look forward to next week's episode. Thank you so much. Bye.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The content is intended for United States audiences only. Opinions expressed are as of the date of this publication, and such opinions are subject to change. Green Financial and Insurance Services Limited, Green, is not responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other claimed losses resulting from or related to the content presented. Green makes no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information presented. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Forecasts are not a reliable indicator of future results. Investors should be aware of the risks associated with investing. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of capital. Investors should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile. Consult with a qualified financial advisor as necessary before making any investment decisions. Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.